Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Ultimately, I'm going to keep saying it. Get 1% better every day. Just get a little bit better every day.
Hello there. Welcome back. Stephen Holder here with Zach Kiefer. And we're back for another episode of 1% Better. And we actually, this is our second episode of the week. And we didn't plan to have that first episode, but stuff happens, right? Especially on the Colts beat. So we recapped the Carson Wentz news for you in that earlier episode. And we figured, oh, well, you know, we'll just come back later in the week and we'll just talk about, you know, all the other stuff that happened on the field. And then literally 24 hours later, we get news that Quentin Nelson is out for potentially months. So other than that, nothing's going on. Half the offensive line's hurt. The quarterback's hurt. Everything's fine. Your thoughts, Zach? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Unless you have thoughts.
Probably one of the worst starts for camp. For any team, right? I mean, I haven't really looked around the league closely because I've been so busy with Colts stuff. But when you lose Quentin Nelson, you've got Ryan Kelly. Although Ryan's probably back in a week or two, probably a week. They might sit him out of those Carolina Panthers practices next week, but then he's probably back at some point, which is good. But, I mean, I spent the day with Rick Venturi the other day, and he called the offensive line a turnstile, the left side. And that's what it is right now. I mean, Chris Reed is your left guard, and Sam Tevy can't block anybody on the left end. So it's not good. And it's also needs to be equated when you start to weigh what Jacob Eason is doing. And we can dig into that as well. Thought he had his best day on Wednesday before the break. But, you know, he doesn't have the Colts offensive line in front of him. He's got something entirely different. I don't know what to call it.
I call it a pretty bad lineup. And I call it trouble. So, you know, here's something that someone asked me the other day. And we'll start, like, broadly, and then we can go more specific. We don't, you know, it's hard to know how long these guys are going to be out. We got these really big ranges on Quentin Nelson and Carson Wentz. And then the other thing, you know, we haven't even talked about Eric Fisher, really, right? I talked to Frank Reich about him a little bit the other day. I didn't get anything in terms of a timeline because I don't think they're going to go there. But they feel some optimism, right? But, like, am I going to sit here and tell you that guy's going to play opening day? No, I can't tell you that. So,
no.
You're looking at missing, you know, perhaps your two most important offensive linemen on opening day right now. And that ain't good. And so, and the quarterback. And so, and by the way, Darius Leonard hasn't practiced. So, all I can say is, look, if someone asked me the other day, like, so, wait a minute. I thought this team was really deep. You know, is this, can they survive all this? Maybe they can. And I was like, all right, that's a fair question. And we have been telling you, right, that this team has a lot of depth. I think that's their calling card, that it's not so much elite players as much as they have a lot of good players. So that's a good thing. But I think these are cornerstone guys is the problem I have. And I think that's tough to overcome. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think just when you talk about your best positions, your most important positions, which are, I think, the offensive line and quarterback, I mean, it doesn't get more urgent than that. When those two spots are in trouble, I think your team's in trouble. And I just don't know how you can, like, spin that, you know? But I don't know. I mean, can their depth like be a saving grace in the meantime, do you think? Or just, well, I don't know.
It's one thing to say they have depth. It's another to lose your top-end talent. And I think any team in the league, if you lose the quality of players the Colts have lost the last couple of weeks, it would be a significant blow. And I do think we see a lot of good football players on the field every single day right now in Westfield, because we do. Kenny Moore has been terrific. Michael Pittman has this anger in his game this year that just seems like he's ready to take another step. I thought Jonathan Taylor's been the best player maybe on either side of the ball. He just looks like he's running with a confidence that he didn't have, at least early last season. He's picked up right where he left off. And, you know, Bobby Okereke is a guy you mentioned has just, like, stepped up in a big way. So there's a lot of good players playing football right now, but we know how this league works. If you can't score touchdowns, if you can't move the ball with your quarterback, you're just going to be trying to shorten every game, and that's just it's a tough way to live. But where do you think about this Eason situation about, you know, five practices in? Because it's been uneven, to say the least.
Yeah, and I think I'll start by saying I'm not surprised that it's been uneven. I didn't expect Jacob Eason to come in here and look like a 10-year vet. That was unrealistic. And,
no way. Yeah.
And I think it was compounded by the Wentz injury, right? I mean, in a weird way, like, he'll grow more from this because he gets more reps, but he wasn't, like, ready for those reps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, it's trial by fire. It is what it is. And, you know, he might ultimately be better for it, but I mean, for right now, it's his head is swimming. I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, you can't. Can you imagine what it's like to be Jacob Eason right now? I mean, so you come into this, all right, they sign Carson Wentz, and you're like, all right, well, Carson's the guy, right? Everyone tells you Carson's the guy. And then the second practice, Carson's out for an undetermined amount of time. And now it's like, all right, by the way, you don't have half your offensive line, but congratulations, you're the number one quarterback.
And he's got to go against a really good defense every day. That's not, I mean, it's nobody's open. You know, I mean, it's hard to find guys that are open.
Well, the pass rush has really been an issue as well. You know, so he can't really go through the progressions like he wants to. So anyway, here's what I'd say. And I've written this, and I think it's still the question. I'll start by saying, yeah, I think he had his best day, no question, had his best day on Wednesday, which is the last practice. We're recording this on Friday morning. We'll be heading out to the Friday practice after this, so we'll see. But Wednesday, I thought he had his best practice. I thought he made better decisions, and that was what I was heartened about.
Yeah.
Because that is something that he has struggled with. Not a surprise, young quarterbacks struggle with, you know, decision making, right? It happens really fast. So what he's wanted to do, I think, has been, you know, to be aggressive, but he hasn't like wanted to pull the trigger. So he pulled the trigger a few times on Wednesday. And that's what I like to see, because all right, you got this big arm. Great. Now use it, right? But at the same time, you've got to use it in a way where it's harnessed and you aren't out there just throwing the ball to the other team. So, you know, he has this tendency to force balls into coverage. That's something that got him in trouble, I think, throughout the first week. So he kind of stayed away from that on Wednesday. That was good. And as I said, he pushed the ball definitely down the field a little more. He hasn't really hit like a big time, big play down the field. They've missed T.Y. a couple times, But that's okay. I mean, I want to see him hit those intermediate throws at least, and then those opportunities for the big plays, they'll come in time. But I think what you got to do is you can't check down all day long is what I'm saying.
No.
Right? You just can't. You can't do that. It's going to be just too difficult on your offense. You have to make some plays. So he started to do that. And again, his arm is of no use if he can't, you know, make some aggressive throws. So he's starting to do that, I think. And what I want to see, maybe this will be the case, but what I want to see is just continued progress. So he needs to go out there today and build on what he did. So I think the question is less about what have we seen and more about what we're going to see, because I think that is going to tell us as much as anything. You know, can he continue to grow? Just what do you think? I mean, what have you observed?
Yeah,
and what are the good and the bad that you've seen?
I think you put it well. It's not what we've seen. It's what we're going to see. And I've always thought it's that 2 week where he's at. right? And then where he's at against the Panthers, that's going to be a tremendous gauge of where he's at. The practices, not so much the preseason game, but the practices. And look, I had a long talk with Scott Milanovich the other day about Eason, and he's like, look, he's doing well. He's making the mistakes that young quarterbacks make. He's working extra. But this is something that I would agree with the Colts quarterback coach. And this is just an eye test sort of thing. But, you know, Milanovich said he doesn't have that look in his eye where it feels too big for him. And I know that sounds like a cliche, and it is, and it's a football coach phrase. But Eason does not look lost out there, and he doesn't look like he's scared. And a lot of the young quarterbacks have come in and done that. And I've seen these guys, these third and fourth stringers over the years, look like they want nothing to do with the defense. I think that matters because this guy's making mistakes, but I think there's teachable tape. And when he checks it down, instead of going 30 yards down the field to Pascal, I think Milanovich can show him in the film room later, like, hey, man, that's open. Like, you got to throw that. Like, I know that's not open in college because you need three extra feet, but in the NFL, you got to thread that window. We started to see him do that. He made a great throw to Pascal through traffic the other day. And I want to know, like, did he go into the office yesterday and work on watching film and getting better, like on his off day? Like, remember, you used to hear that, like, there's no doubt that Philip Rivers was doing that last year. We used to hear that Andrew Luck would spend his off days watching film. I don't even need to get into Peyton Manning, but if this dude wants to accelerate this process, he needs to be in there watching the film yesterday. I'm sure he did. We'll find out more today after practice, but he hasn't seemed like a guy that's been intimidated. He hasn't played a lot of football the last couple of years, so he just needs to get every single rep he can get. But I think the next couple of weeks are going to decide a lot for Jacob Eason. But I know for a fact this team is not looking to actively make a trade right now. Their chips are in on the table on this guy. And yeah, it's a risky move by Chris Ballard. It's putting a lot at stake on Jacob Eason and Frank Reich. But we'll see. And he's not looking inept out there. You know, he's looking like a young quarterback. And he's made some plays the last couple practices that make you think, okay, maybe it's starting to slow down a little bit, but I think the next week and a half are going to be really vital.
Yeah, so this is very anecdotal, but I think these are the kinds of things you want to see because that's all we got right now, right? So here's what I'm talking about. On what day is today? We never know what day it is. Now, Friday. Tuesday, he and the offense, and I don't really blame him for this. The offensive line, you'd say that he didn't look inept. The offensive line definitely looked inept on Tuesday. That was the first day without Quentin Nelson, I believe. They also, as I mentioned, they're dealing with a backup left tackle, backup left guard, backup center, because Danny Pinter was ill that day. So you're talking about third string guys in some cases there. Let me tell you, Jacob Eason had, I mean, his absolute worst day. It was awful. All right, what happened? He came back Wednesday. And you know what? He stood tall. He says, damn it, I got this. And look, it's a very small microcosm, but that's what you got to do.
Frank Reich noticed that. He said, hey, way to bounce back. That's what quarterbacks have to do.
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen? And Frank is a big, I think this is a big thing for Frank Reich. You know, you're going to throw an interception, all right? And then on the next series, you got to go back out there and you got to pull the trigger again and you can't be scared. And so, you know, and Frank is aggressive. You're talking about an aggressive coach here. And obviously he'll be less aggressive with a young quarterback like Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger than he would be Carson Wentz. But you know, you got to win games. And I think you're going to have to be aggressive at times. And Frank is going to put him in situations where maybe he'll have to do that. So you have to know that quarterback has guts. He has to have, you know, that moxie to go out there and say, I don't care. You know, watch this. And so is it cocky? A little bit. You want your quarterback to have a little edge to him because he better, because the defense has an edge. Okay. You think those guys coming after the quarterback have an edge? You damn right they do. So the quarterback has to be able to match that. And just from a confidence standpoint, really match that. And so again, very, very, very small microcosm of a 4-week training camp. But I was happy to see that, and I think that told me something. So we'll see. Now the key is he's got to do it on consecutive days, consecutive weeks. He's got to do it in the preseason. So we got a long way to go, and he has a lot to prove. But I just kind of want to see the arrow keep pointing up, and I think that's where the Colts are. You put it pretty well that, you know, they're all in. They are. I mean, because they feel like, look, I don't know that their options are that great to begin with, right? And then even the options they do have, you know, are they going to be game changers? I don't know. I mean, we can talk about Nick Foles, and we probably will. But outside of that, I don't know what your, you know, what are your options, right? You know, so that's the thing. We've talked about them going to get a veteran, but like, then again, but who? You know, so that's really the issue. Unless Blake Bortles, you know, sort of, you know, twinkles your toes, but I don't know that, not for me. So I wrote about Sam Ehlinger this week, and, you know, and I knew this would happen because I know you guys well. This turned into, is there a quarterback controversy? Well, no, we just told you they're all in on Jacob Eason. However, they also have been very clear. Jacob Eason has to earn it. And I think that's the right move. You know, they're not going to gift wrap this thing to him if he's terrible. He has to do it. But what do you think has to happen? What would have to happen, do you think, for Sam Ehlinger to become more of a factor? Because he has been, I think, steadier than Eason against the number two defense, to be clear.
Yeah, I think it's not in Sam Ehlinger's hands. I think it's going to take a total catastrophe from Eason, which, you know, I mean, anything's possible. I don't see it happening. But look, Ellinger's, it's they're so different. They couldn't be more different. And for those fans that have come out to watch camp, you know, I was watching the Venturi for the story, and he just turns to me and he said, he just throws a catchable ball. This is Ehlinger. And he does. Mm-hmm. And he's got a little bit of that moxie where he just, and Frank put it so well the other day when we were talking about him. He said he just has a way of simplifying the game. And it's not easy to do that. It's a complicated game, but some quarterbacks just make it a little bit simpler. Mm-hmm. And Ehlinger has that. And look, let's be very clear that Eason is going against the studs, the first team defense. Buckner and Grover Stewart are in his face every play. And the corners are all over the receivers. Ellinger's going against second and third team guys. And Eason is still moving the football, at least as of the last practice. So, like you said, this is not a QB controversy right now. But it's just interesting to compare the two skill sets. And I think it's fair to say, like your story mentioned, that the Colts have noticed Sam Ehlinger's ability to pick up the offense very quickly. And he's just got a little bit of moxie about him. And I know that's a football term that gets overused, but come out to practice today or Saturday or Sunday and watch number four and tell me what you think, because this guy, he just has a little bit to him. And it's fun to watch him play because he's the smallest kid on the field. He's got no arm strength and he just finds a way to move the ball.
You know, I think Frank Reich actually kind of said this in a roundabout way, you know, he said basically that here's Jacob. He's big. He's got this big arm. He has something special about him. And he kind of was like, yeah, you know, Sam doesn't have any of that. So
yeah,
he's like, he's like, when you are that type of quarterback, though, it's just, this is his words. He said, when you're that type of quarterback, you've got to find ways to win. And that is what I think makes him someone to embrace. You know, that's what draws you to him, is that he does it with his head, with good decisions. He does it with his legs as well, being resourceful and making plays, you know, getting himself in position to make plays. It's kind of, and this is, I know this is going to sound stupid, but he's a very, 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 very poor man's Russell Wilson, right? Now, Russell Wilson physically has some gifts.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like that guy has one of the biggest arms in the NFL.
There's about 10 pores in that, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm being clear. Okay. I mean, like he's a broke Russell Wilson right now, right? Not poor man. He's broke man's Russell Wilson. But I think similar in that Russell Wilson is resourceful. He couples that with a huge arm, obviously, and elite athleticism. Sam Ehlinger doesn't have elite athleticism. He has good athleticism. But anyway, my point is, you understand why he would not be someone to write off. And I think the Colts, they have to keep everything on the table. That's the thing. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they've got like five practices with Jacob Eason. So everything has to be on the table. They don't know anything. They don't know Sam Ehlinger, for that matter. So, but I do think right now, you keep all your options open. And I think that's where we are. We'll see. Jacob Eason will decide this. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
It won't be a matter of, I don't think it'll be a matter of Sam Ehlinger is so good, we just have to take Jacob Eason out of there.
No.
No, it's going to be the other way around.
He's limited.
Yeah. But again, I think if it comes to it, he's an option, and I think he's an option that they would like legitimately explore if they felt they needed to. So
and remember, this is like a 2 or 3 game vacuum, you know, at worst, if Wentz isn't ready for the opener. Remember, we're not talking about,
right.
You know, I do think it's going to be Eason. I do, for the record. But if it's not, this is a 2 to 3 game situation where you're not looking at a full-time, long-term answer at quarterback. You're looking at how do we beat the Rams in week 2? How do we beat the Seahawks in week 1? So, yeah, I think you nailed it. You know how Chris thinks. You know how Chris mm-hmm. Ballard thinks. Let's just see how Eason does. Let's keep everything on the table. And I think Sam's going to be fun to watch during the preseason. I think the fans are going to enjoy him. I think he's going to become a fan favorite. He mm-hmm. plays with a lot of fire. His teammates like him. You can just listen to the way they talk about him. And I would like him too if he threw. I mean, he puts everything on the money. It takes a little bit to get there if it's an outside throw, but there's something to him. And you remember when they drafted this kid and Chris was like, he's just got it. I know that we say that about football players a lot, but he's just got it. I'm starting to see that. And I had a long talk with him about some other stuff last week, and that story will come out in the next couple of weeks. But special kid, and just keep an eye on him if you're going out to Westfield this week. Just keep an eye on this kid when he's running the 2nd and 3rd team.
Yeah, and I think the last thing that I'll say on this point is, look, I give Frank Reich and Chris Ballard a lot of credit. They have proven that they will do what makes sense. They'll do the right thing. And if that means – you know, making a move that goes against the grain, they'll do that. I mean, I look at, for example, look at their punting situation. I think, when was that, 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, they brought in a free agent punter, gave him signing bonus, and what did they do? They kept their undrafted free agent, and guess what? Now he's one of the best punters in the league, right? So that's kind of what they do. And we've seen that at other places too. You know, they've made some cuts at final cuts where people were kind of up in arms about them, and they've generally been proven right. So I think that's the bottom line, is if you have trust in their decision making, and I'm not saying they've been perfect, but generally they get it right. So if you have trust in their decision making, I think this is another case where you got to trust it. So let's get away from quarterbacks for a second, which is hard to do. But who has been the guy, do you think, take one guy on offense, one guy on defense for you, who have been the absolute standouts in your mind? Anybody?
Yeah, on offense, it's a two-man race. It's the 2020 top two picks. It's Taylor and Pittman. Taylor's been phenomenal. And let me ask you this. Do you get a sense that he's just way more confident this mm-hmm. year? Like, yes. And even in interviews, it's like, whoa, yep. This guy knows he's the shit. And he is. And he is. And he looks like it on the field, too.
I love it because it's not an arrogance. It's like, you know, like we asked him, someone asked him the other day, like, you know, now, like, defenses are coming for you now. Like, they know who you are. They saw the tape. And he's like, I want that. I'm ready for that. Let them come. I was like, all right, okay, all right, big dog, let's go.
And I kind of asked him, like, hey, like, quarterback's out, line's shaky. There's a lot more on your shoulders than there was even 2 weeks ago. And he's like, all right, you know, like, mm-hmm. there is some swagger to him. And even Pittman, who said the same exact thing, like, I want to be the number one receiver. And he's playing like it. He's playing like it. So those two on offense for me. It's not just what they've done on the field, and they've been the best players on offense on the field. Mm-hmm. It's how they have carried themselves off it, and even in our interactions. And I know that might be, you know, not the most important thing in the world, but you can tell. Some guys don't have it. Some guys don't have that confidence, and some guys do. And these guys are talking the talk right now, and they look like they're ready to have really big seasons. On defense, I mean, it's hard to go against Buckner, who lived in the backfield the other day. And Grover Stewart, who did the same thing. But, man, I mean, Okereke's been really good. And he does what he does well, really well. And that's sideline to sideline. You know, Venturi made a good point. Is he going to be able to fill that mic spot and really get do the dirty work, right? And shed the blocks and then stuff the tackle. We'll see about that. But he moves really well. And he has absolutely stood out to me on defense so far.
So let me take that point and go a step further. So I had someone not in the organization, but who is very plugged in, told me the other day, you know, there's people in the Colts organization who think Bobby Okereke is their most well-rounded linebacker. And I kind of thought about that for a second. I was like, ooh, don't let Darius Leonard hear that. But I don't think it's wrong. And I'll tell you what. Look, it's not – they didn't say the best linebacker. They're saying the most complete linebacker. And I think if you think about it, look, Darius Leonard, he can make plays in coverage. There's no question because he is such an athlete. But it is not the strongest part of his game, okay? Like – He does take some chances and get himself in trouble and that kind of thing. Because that's how Darius makes his plays. He's instinctive. And he's like, Eric, I think they're going to do this, so I'm going to do this, right? Bobby definitely plays with instincts, but he also plays, I think, a little more structured. And so he ends up getting in position for a lot of plays on the ball. He just really has a knack for that. He also is really great at the point of attack. And so I just think he's a really good coverage linebacker. He's a great tackler. He plays with speed. But he's going to be, I think, potentially their most all-around linebacker. I don't think there's any question that he can be that guy this year. And honestly, I think he can take a step and become one of the key players in that defense. I don't think there's any question about it. He has all the tools. He plays a position in this defense that enables you to make plays. So there's no reason this guy can't be I think one of the cornerstones of this defense moving forward. They just keep doing a good job on defense of finding young talent that ends up supplanting someone. And you know, that's the case here. I mean, Anthony Walker became expendable because Bobby Okereke is just a better player.
And this is one of those situations where, you know, we've covered a lot of training camps where it's like he just makes a play every day or every other day. And it's like, that's just going to carry over to the season. It just is. Like, it's just... You see it in camp. I remember in 2018, like a couple of weeks in, I was like, Kenny Moore is the best corner on this team. It's not even close. And there were some older guys, and he wasn't supposed to be the best corner, but it was clear. And then he had a breakout season. And it's just, this is the same sort of thing. Like, he just brings it every day. It's not an accident. And it's not going to just disappear when they get to Sunday. So Okereke's been really good. I love the way Julian Blackman moves in the back end. He looks like... he looks like he's got his legs under him after a rough end to last year. And Kari Willis is a guy that no one's ever going to talk about a lot, but he's fun to watch in those one-on-one reps because he makes it so difficult for the receiver to get any type of airspace. And Kari is not going to make the splash plays, but he's just really consistent day after day.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of playmakers on this defense. And I think that's really going to be key for them, especially early. Can they get some turnovers? I think this is a big opportunity for them to keep games competitive, you know, while these injuries, you know, kind of get resolved. And I think one of the things they're going to have to do is just give their offense more opportunities, you know, give the ball back to Jonathan Taylor and company, right, and see what they can do. Because early on, you know, you're worried about, you know, how much firepower you're going to have, you know, given the quarterback situation. I think that's a very fair concern, and it should be a concern. Now, for the defense, you know, they're going to have their hands full too. I mean, look, they get Seattle and the Rams back to back, you know, to open up. And so, you know, those are two teams with firepower that can make plays. And so, you know, have explosive players. So the defense is going to have his hands full. And I think one of the ways that it can level the playing field is turnovers. Now, and again, they have a group with the ability to produce turnovers. I think that's huge. I think that is something that is going to be a calling card for them. They're, you know, they talked about last year shooting for 40 turnovers. They didn't get there. I forget the number right now. I think they were top five, I believe, though, in the NFL.
Yeah, the number is 40 this year, I believe.
Yeah, it is. It's a gaudy number. I think the NFL record is not much higher than that, actually. Right. So I mean, look, it's a ridiculous and gaudy goal, but that's okay. I mean, I think they should have high goals in this area because I think they have players capable of producing turnovers. So we'll see what happens. I think that's going to be one of the things, as I said, that can level the playing field. Another guy, I think, on defense who I'm kind of seeing some flash from, like, really consistently, and I want to know more. I want to dig into this. I want to see if this continues. Is Ben Banigou, and that has been as big a surprise as anything. Now, it's not a surprise that we were paying attention because we were watching this guy because there's a lot of anticipation to see, frankly, if he's good enough to even stick around. You know, there's pressure on this kid. But look, the offensive line is what it is, but he's been a factor, man. I mean, is this a mirage? What do you think?
No, man, the pads are on. It wasn't just in shorts. He's doing it. I watched the one-on-one drills the other day. He's moving with the speed that he didn't have last year. I don't know what happened. Only Ben Banigou knows what happens. But he was invisible in camp last year. Like, I never even wrote his name down in my notes. Like, I never saw him make a play. And he's not just making plays out there this week. He's yapping. He's running around. Like, the other day, you know, it's kind of weird. So he makes a sack, but they don't actually sack the quarterback because it's camp. And then he runs down the field after the completion and hustles to the ball. Like, I just never saw him that active on the field last year. So I'm not going to say it's a shoo-in to make the team, but he is bringing it. He's doing everything he can right now. A lot of like what Tyquan Lewis did last year. And you got to remember, like, second round pick, like, talent. Like, and I think they got into that weird situation where it's like, is he a linebacker? Is he a defensive end? He's been defensive end the whole time. But boy, if this defensive line, which was a huge concern of mine coming into camp, Toure's been fantastic. I mean, he makes a play every day. He's got what no one else on that line has. He's got that bend and that size and that speed around the edge. Toure's playing great. Banigou's popping all of a sudden out of nowhere. Tyquan's been good. Kwity Paig seems to get better every single day. You know, maybe if all those guys can stay healthy, the defensive end room can be pretty solid. Now, you have some huge concerns on the other side of the ball all of a sudden about the left tackle, left guard, quarterback, center. But if you get some pass rush, that opens things up for this team. And let me ask you this. So we've heard this over and over again from the defensive players. We want to be elite. Like, they want to take this next step. They don't want to be a good defense. They want to be one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. Can they do that with this pass rush?
I am starting to think yes. Now, I think we need to see more. And I got to see it in games. I need to see it on Sundays. You know, games being preseason games, I should say. And then, obviously, I need to see it in the regular season. So, you know, whether what I'm seeing is real is something I can't say 100%, right? Because practice is a very different animal. But all I can tell you is they're winning the matchups. They're winning the matchups. And, I mean, the offensive line, be that as it may, I mean, you're gonna get some bad offensive lineman matchups sometimes. Okay, so, like, they weren't winning those last year either. You know, So, you know, it's not like they were playing all pros every week. I mean, they had some, you know, some duds they went against, and they didn't win those matchups. So they're winning. And they're winning consistently. I think it's real. I thought that they were a notch below elite last year because they just weren't consistent enough. You know, and you can't be elite with the kind of pass rush they had last year. I don't think that's possible. There's no way you can be considered elite. I think about the elite defenses. I think about defenses that get after the quarterback. That has to be one of the key attributes.
You know? It's so vital.
I mean, Chicago and the Rams, I mean, they get after the quarterback, you know, and I think, and they consistently do that. And then they got the back end too, but that's definitely part of the package, is they get after the quarterback. And the Colts, outside of Buckner last year, I don't think we're doing that nearly enough. So now, look, I mean, sometimes these defensive ends, these edge players, I think sometimes, you know, we're used to, well, we sometimes see those guys pop right away, you know, as rookies. It's not unheard of, right? We see that from time to time. These rookie pass rushers come out of nowhere, or maybe not out of nowhere, but they're rookie pass rushers, and, you know, they get 7, 8, 9 sacks. And you're like, man, where'd that guy come from, right? But, and then you have what the Colts have, which is guys who seem to be late bloomers, potentially. You know, Tyquan Lewis was that way. He always flashed. And I'm not saying he's going to the Pro Bowl, but I'm just saying he always flashed, even as a rookie. But I never saw any consistency. And I thought last year was the most consistent season he had. This is his third season. And now he's in his fourth year. And so, same with Banigou. You know, this guy hasn't done anything consistently except be inactive last year. And something definitely has happened. There's no question. Something has definitely happened with Ben Manigou. And I think
when he seems like he's having fun again. Like, yeah. I know that's just simplifying it, but he's having fun on the football field.
You know what? It is simplifying it. And I think you're right. Sometimes it is simple. You know what it is? It's confidence. It's when you feel like you can do it and then you do it, you know, that's a great feeling. I think it's just confidence. And you can't tell me this guy was playing with confidence before.
No.
I mean, no. I don't know. I've seen – he's more animated than I've ever seen him, and I think that's a guy who feels confident in himself and is having fun too on top of that. So, but those things go hand in hand. So anyway –
don't forget about Toure. I'm telling you.
No,
guys,
I agree.
I'm buying it, and I see it, and he's in the quarterback's face a lot, and he could be a legit starter. He could be a good player.
I think it's been health for him. I mean, it's been a year and a half since this guy's been healthy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was October 2019.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
The Chiefs game.
I know.
It seems like 12 years ago because of COVID.
There were 5-2 that time. Anyway, so, you know, look, man, they have to get – the health is going to – health is a product of this. So this is a product of health too, I should say, because – it's no coincidence all the guys on offense are hurt and the offense is struggling, right? On defense, they got their guys. They're missing Darius Leonard, granted, and that's a big loss. But I think, you know, they can cover up for that, you know, with some of the other guys that they have.
Oh, pass rush can cover up everything. Sure. I mean, I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch, but, like, we'll see. It's been an encouraging development in a camp where there hasn't been very many of them, let's be honest.
Right. And at the end of the day, if you want something to hold on to, and I know, you know, we started this with just, you know, one blow after another the past week and a half. But if you want something you can hang on to, it's I think this defense can give them a chance. The one issue I have, and I'll say this here, the one thing I'm not really thrilled about is the cornerback play. I don't think it's gotten better. Right? I mean, no. I don't think it's better.
Xavier,
I'm not saying
been
it's
out there
bad.
Once.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I don't know if it's better. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But Xavier Rhodes, yeah, as you said, is not out there. He's still on the COVID list. Like, man, it's been like, when's he coming back? It's been a while.
They practiced 6 or 7 or 8 times. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my one concern on defense. And I don't even know if concern is the right word. It's just, I think it's something that I'm aware of, put it that way. So I don't think it's bad. I just... you know, I don't know that it's definitely not special. So we'll see. So other than that, nothing going on.
Yeah, there is actually something else going on. I'm going to Canton tomorrow to watch two of the greatest ever go into the Hall of Fame. So,
oh yeah, there's that.
It should be a hell of a class reunion for the Colts. I mean, we're talking, I think everybody's going to be there. So yeah. Everybody from that era, Peyton and Edge's era, those early 2000s, late 2000s teams. And when Peyton's there, you know, the whole thing takes another level. So,
including, by the way, Tom Brady, who will be sitting in Peyton's section. Did you hear what he said?
It's kind of funny. What he said on Fox last night. We'll see how Robert Mathis takes that. but I'll be there to watch, and I'll let you guys know how it goes, and I'll let you know if Tom Brady absorbs any bodily harm.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Mathis, I think, is a very open-minded guy. I think this will be fine. I think it'll be totally fine. Robert Mathis is very understanding, loves quarterbacks.
Patient.
Yeah, this will be fine. Right, I mean, right. I know his Twitter handle is QB Killer or
Hater.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Something like that.
When he would do his softball game, the back of his jersey would say QB Hater.
Right. So other than that, he loves quarterbacks. So I think it'll be fine. Now I kind of want to go.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready.
So, anyway, it really will be, though, a pretty cool weekend, man. I can't imagine. Where did I hear this? Was it you who told me about Edrin's party being scheduled to end at like 3 a.m.? And
yeah, it's not going to end at 3.
And then he's like, yeah, no. He's like, we're not doing 3.
We're talking like 6 a.m.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. Listen,
hey, Hall of Famers can do whatever they want on the night they're inducted. That's the rule.
Let's just put it this way. Edrin's a night owl, okay? The man owns a strip club, okay? So he comes out at night. That's his element. So it'll be fun. It'll be definitely a fun weekend, man. I mean, you're going to see basically everyone you watched in that era. that's going to be really amazing to see.
No question. They're all going to be there. It's going to be pretty special. Pretty special for this organization.
No question. All right. We appreciate you guys listening in. Thanks for following along on our coverage. You guys are the best. And if you're not subscribed, now's a great time to do it right before football season. So theathletic.com, lots of specials there for you to partake in. And we'd love to have you. So thanks for listening. Hope to subscribe to the podcast if you're not a subscriber there, so you make sure you get it in your feed. And with that, we'll wrap another episode of 1% Better. I'm Stephen Holder with Zach Kiefer. Thanks for listening.